can't believe that I'm so laid back about this year, but I feel like maybe it's because both are glaring needs and that is less comforting.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I am DW, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, the June, Petter of Dogs, first of her name, the Daenerys Targaryen of Falcons Twitter, the Quick Draw McGraw of Facebook Messenger, the Trash Talker Supreme, the one and only Touchdown Balls, she who will not be bossed, Gina Math Online Thomas. Gina, how are you doing?
Well, yeah, I'm doing fine considering that we're in the middle of moving, but I'm laughing so hard because it's been a while since we've done the Falcoholic Podcast, and some of those nicknames, I'm like, how did that even happen? Like, where did that even come from? It is quite a list.
Well, remember, Michael Kelly did give you one last year, so he extended it.
Trash Talker Supreme. That's my favorite because I feel like it's the most accurate. That is the Daenerys Targaryen of Falcons Twitter. We were watching a little bit of Game of Thrones over a couple of days ago, and I was like, yeah, that is who I am.
Which is coming back very soon, so how apropos. Mm-hmm. Joining us today is the man, the myth, the legend, the Falcoholic himself, the one and only, he of the ice wargs in Canada, Dave Choate. Dave, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Hose. How you doing?
This is the second time today I've been called a hoe. Anyhow.
Hose. It means something totally different up here. Kind of.
He's not calling you hoe plural. It's hoe.
Oh, okay. Yes. I don't understand that Canadian dialect. That's a weird country. Anyhow, on today's special edition of the Falcoholic Podcast, we are actually going to talk about, I'm very excited about this, the SB Nation's mock draft for the 2019 NFL draft coming up, and of course the Falcons pick at number 14. So before we get into the details of that pick, I want to quickly recap all of the picks made thus far for our listeners. So at number one, the Arizona Cardinals selected Kyler Murray, quarterback out of Oklahoma. Number two, the 49ers take Nick Bosa, edge rusher out of Ohio State. Third pick, the Jets take Josh Allen, edge rusher out of Kentucky. Number four, the Raiders took Quinnen Williams, defensive line, Alabama. And number five, the Buccaneers took Ed Oliver, defensive line out of Houston. Number six, the New York Giants take Devin White, linebacker out of LSU. Number seven, Jacksonville takes Dwayne Haskins, quarterback out of OSU. At number eight, the Detroit Lions took Brian Burns, edge rusher out of Florida State. Number nine, Buffalo Bills took TJ Hawkinson, tight end out of Iowa. At 10, Broncos took Drew Lock, quarterback out of Missouri. At 11, the Bengals took Devin Bush, linebacker out of Michigan. At 12, the Green Bay Packers took Montez Sweat, edge out of Mississippi State. At 13, the Dolphins took Juwan Taylor, tackle out of Florida, and that leaves us at number 14 with the Atlanta Falcons. And Dave, I'm going to let you let the listeners know who you picked at number 14 for the Atlanta Falcons in the mock draft.
Well, this was not the ideal situation for me, and you'll see my comments on that when you read the mock draft, which you're all going to do right now while you're listening. Ideally, I would have gotten one of the elite, what I identified as the elite defensive linemen in this draft class, but all four of the guys, five if you include Nick Bosa, who was never going to last, were already gone. So I looked at it, and I looked at what the Falcons have stated that they're going to do, or what we think they're going to do, and what their needs are, and I ended up taking Jonah Williams, the future Falcons right tackle out of Alabama.
There you go. So for those who are listening or who are not directly in front of a computer, let me give you a quick rundown of Jonah Williams, the junior tackle out of Alabama. He is 6'4", 302 pounds. He ran a 40-yard dash in about 5.12 seconds, which was the second fastest of the offensive linemen in this draft class. 23 reps on the bench press. He has been a starter since his freshman year in 2016 at Alabama, which is pretty amazing. He moved to left tackle in 2017 and has been at that position since. Just some of the accolades of his career at Alabama. Freshman All-American honors, SEC All-Freshman squad, AP third team All-American in 2017, first team All-SEC in 2017, the SEC's Jacobs Blocking Trophy in 2017, AP first team All-American in 2018, the Outland Trophy finalist in 2018, and the first team All-SEC in 2018. This guy has a pretty extensive resume in just three short years. In Alabama, and of course, as you know, coming from an SEC school, he went up against some pretty fierce competition. So this guy is battle tested. The scouting reports, you're going to love this, Gina. He compares to Jake Matthews, the Falcons' left tackle, who, despite what some fans think, has been a very, very good tackle in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, me?
Yeah, I thought you were injecting yeah, me something.
Well, you said you're going to love this, Gina, that he compares to Jake Matthews, and I do, because I wrote something about Mike Ken on The Falcoholic recently, and I had kind of forgotten that Mike Ken during that interview like got really in depth about why Jake Matthews was such a great tackle prospect. Like, he thought he was going to be fantastic and loved his technique. And yeah, I mean, that is, I think, the closest comparison to Williams. So I think that that's actually very encouraging.
Yeah. And it comes out in the scouting report. Some of this is going to sound familiar to Falcons fans. Some of the positives, he plays with superior technique and fundamentals. And that was one of the things, Gina, to your very point, that I think Ken pointed out as well, is that superior technique and fundamentals made him more pro ready on day one than any tackle that came out of that draft class. And then he has incredible athleticism. And of course, we're talking about Jonah Williams, to mirror and divert, you know, in particular speed rushers. So guys like Von Miller, he's adept to playing against that kind of speed. Some negatives, some scouts are concerned about his arm length, which sort of harkens back to the Sam Baker days.
We all knew where that was going, buddy. Remember them fondly.
The old T-Rex arms. Yeah.
Oh, mercy. He has a little bit smaller frame than some people consider normal for NFL offensive tackle standards. And some potential concerns with spacing, with facing guys who, you know, convert speed to power really well in the NFL. So he's not a perfect player, but he definitely, as Dave, you know, said, would be the future right tackle and someone that probably starts day one. So, Dave, I'm going to turn it over to here. You made the pick. I want you to talk a little bit about why Jonah Williams, especially in light of all the guys that sort of went in front of him, and, you know, what some of your logic was going into picking a tackle, an offensive tackle, instead of maybe someone else on the defensive line.
Yeah, for me, it's sort of a question of, you know, I've always been in favor of, you know, trying to address your needs. And in my eyes, first and foremost, the needs are pass rushing help, quality defensive linemen. I think everyone would agree with that. But I also think that you don't want to go for a guy that you're not in love with. And, you know, I love Ed Oliver. I've been all in on Ed Oliver. I would like to get Quinnen Williams if Oliver wasn't available. And I like Brian Burns and Montez Sweat off the edge for the Falcons. Those guys were all gone. And I was looking very seriously at Juwan Taylor, at tackle as well, because this Falcons team is looking for the beef. And so when he went one pick in front of the Falcons, it really was down to Williams for me. I know that some people prefer Dalton Risner. They prefer Andre Dillard, who I think went a couple picks after that to the Panthers. But to me, Williams is, you know, short arm concerns aside, he's maybe the most pro ready tackle in this class. He's, you know, a phenomenal technician. He's the kind of guy that I think fits very well on this line. He's certainly mobile enough to be better than Ty Sombrello, which I guess is damning with faint praise here, but you know, he's a good player. Right off the bat, I think he's a good player, and I think long-term he could be a great one at right tackle. And the Falcons have really made it clear just by how they've handled this offseason and some of their comments too, that right tackle is a need that they are going to try to fill. You know, Sombrello is at best, I think, a one-year stopgap starting option if they don't get that guy they want in this draft class. But, you know, Arthur Blank has made it clear that they've invested some money at guard. You know, they're all set at left tackle. They're all set at center. But right tackle is that position. If you can get a guy like Jonah Williams, who at least for, you know, five seasons is relatively affordable, and could be a great player, then you've really got that last missing piece on the offense, to make it great again this year. You have to set yourself up then to nail the defensive draft class.
Make this offense great again.
Moga, if you will.
Sorry, you knew that I couldn't let that pass.
No, I could hear you chuckling over there. Chuckles. But so that's why, in the end, I made this pick, because I think that, you know, when you mix need, both stated and perceived by the fans, and you mix the caliber of player available, Jonah Williams was the obvious pick for me. You know, I wasn't going to go with a guy like Clelin Ferrell, who I like fine, but I don't think is an impactful addition to this team, especially this year necessarily, when they really urgently need it. So, you know, finish that offense off and hope that Dan Quinn is some sort of wizard and can get more out of the defense. And you know, that your second round pick that you're keeping because you're not trading up for Ed Oliver is going to be that guy that you can add to the line.
So, Gina, this pick reminds me a little bit a few years ago when the Eagles picked Lane Johnson. They already had a fantastic left tackle in place, and obviously Lane Johnson has turned out to be one of the absolute best right tackles in the league. A lot of people thought he was drafted to eventually be the replacement for Jason Peters in the long term at left tackle, and that may still happen. But do you see this in a similar light, this kind of pick, Jonah Williams for the Falcons?
Well, David, I just want to preface this by saying, you know how excited I get to talk about the offensive line. It really is my favorite position group on the field. It's the one that I know the most about, so I love it. And a few years back for SB Nation, like, it's been a while, I think I wasn't even full-time yet, I wrote a piece about how teams needed to start to shift their focus to right tackle, because so many defensive coordinators scheme against the right tackle. They assume that's a position of weakness. So you need somebody who can fend off a Von Miller or, you know, one of the top flight pass rushers in the league. And I do think that he is that guy. And it's funny that you mentioned, what's his name? It's already slipped my mind. In
Lane
Philly.
Johnson.
Lane Johnson. I'm so tired from moving. But I actually wrote that article because of him. Like, he had gotten a left tackle contract at the right tackle position. I was like, teams should value this position differently. Like, teams should think about this. And in terms of, his talent and his ceiling, I see the concerns and I understand why those are negatives. But I think that, I think he compares pretty well to that. And I think that he would be a great addition because the team is set at left tackle for now. And so, I think that it does fill a position of need. I did a podcast mock draft with Locked On Draft, Trevor and Sean over there over the weekend. And I was in the same position as Dave. I ended up going with Jawan. I can't think of his last name either. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so tired.
Taylor, the kid out of Florida.
Yes. Yep. And it was the same thing. And actually, Jonah Williams was off the board in that one. So that was where I went to, Dave. We were both forced away from the defense, even though it was our preference.
And, you know, it's funny because I feel like the picks that were made in both of those drafts were very common sense, logical, straightforward, and paying attention to team needs. And I think we all know that that's not what's actually going to happen in the draft because the Giants are drafting. So there are going to be some really dumb picks in between, you know, us and the Falcons. And so if they do have a defensive lineman they really like out of that group of four that I mentioned, I feel like one of them might very well fall because, again, you know, Daniel Jones and is lurking. He's lurking.
Yes. And so what we're saying, NFL teams, is, you know, consider hiring SB Nation contributors for your front offices, because we make smart and sensible draft picks, unlike your general managers.
Ooh.
About half the ones in the league, for that matter.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I do want to clarify, for this mock draft, there was no there were no trades. There was nothing of the sort. It was just straight up take the pick at where you have it, right?
Yeah, because I think we did 1 year, and this is my 10th or 11th year of doing this now, maybe even more. And we did 1 year at least where we had trades, and it got messy. You know, feelings were hurt. So I think we just decided to stick with it, keep it straight, and just see what's available there. So again, not necessarily totally representative, but it gives each team a chance to take who they feel is honestly the best player on the board, which I think is interesting.
Yep. So on that note, we are going to talk briefly on this podcast about the real draft and how we think that may play out. But before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we're back with the Falcoholic Podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming NFL draft and what the Falcons may actually do. So we've talked about the SB Nation mock, where the Falcons had to draft at 14 at their current draft position. As we all know, Dave, I think you wrote about this recently, Thomas Dimitroff, the GM of the Falcons, has a very storied history of not staying put in the first round. And the last time that he had 9 picks in a single draft was 2011. And it also happened to be the year that he made the blockbuster trade to go up and get Julio Jones. So the question is a very simple one. And Gene, I'm actually going to go to you on this one first. Do you feel like, with this draft class, with the number of picks that there are, some of the guys that we think are going to be in the top 10, do you feel like this is a draft where TD is going to make a move yet again?
You know, I don't say this very often about the Falcons and the draft, but in this case, I don't think that they can actually go wrong either way. If they trade up for a guy like Oliver, I'm going to be thrilled, because that's also who I want. But if they stand pat and they end up with a tackle, you know, there are a handful that could go that high, who all of whom I think would be totally serviceable. And so in that case, you know, you're protecting your investment in Matt Ryan, you're protecting your investment in Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman. So we saw what Matt Ryan could do behind a really stellar line in 2016. Like, I think that you really, if you're bolstering the defense and getting someone who, for the first time in many, many years, can actually rush the passer right out of the gate, amazing. I'm going to be delighted. If you get a tackle and there's somebody who can plug in and be the starter on that side for years to come, cool. I'm on board with that too. Like, I can't believe that I'm so laid back about this year, but I feel like maybe it's because both are glaring needs, and that is less comforting. But I think that either way, I think that they'll be okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to see them go either direction.
Wow. Dave, since you have covered this on the site just recently, I believe it was just last week that you spoke about the Falcons trading up. What is your feel for what Dimitroff may or may not do in this draft class? I think the last time we moved up was it was for Tack, wasn't it? Or did we draft him where he was at? I cannot remember.
No, they moved up. They hopped up, what, 5-6 spots, I think, for Tack with
okay.
Seattle.
Yep, so that was 2017. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your feelings? Yeah. What are your feelings about the Falcons making another move to maybe move into the top 10?
So I'm torn on it. So for me, I don't, as much as I want it to happen, and I hope I'm pleasantly surprised, I don't see them moving up for Ed Oliver, which could take quite a bit of draft capital at this point. But, you know, Dimitroff has 9 picks to work with, and I'm sure that there's a handful of guys that the Falcons love, and if one of them gets to 9, 10, even 11 or 12, I think the Falcons will say, you know what, let's hop up. I think Dimitrov's done a pretty good job over the years, except with the Julio trade, where they were moving up so much that they had to give up a lot of value, which was totally worth it. But again, you know, he usually is able to negotiate a fairly team-friendly deal. I think this team will tell you in their honest hour that they're not going to add 9 guys to the roster this year anyways. So I think if, you know, the draft board goes at all the way they want it to, or they're in, you know, desperate straits and someone they really love is going to be gone, yeah, they'll make a short hop up. I think, you know, if it's not in the first round, which would actually kind of surprise me given the dynamics of play here, they'll trade up somewhere else. I mean, Dimitrov's got to scratch that itch, and he's got the ammo to do it. And I don't think that's the wrong thing. You know, in some years when you've got only 6 picks or whatever, I don't think it's a great idea necessarily to do that, you know, just with the number of picks you're going to inevitably miss on this year, where they have so many selections, where they're not all in value rounds, and where there are guys on both sides of the ball in the trenches who would be great fits for the team. I think they'd be foolish not to move up if there's a guy they love and it's just a short hop. So I think it'll happen. I don't know who before. I don't know how many spots they're going to go up, but that's kind of the fun of the draft night, I guess.
Yeah. A lot of fans have been talking online about the fact that the Detroit Lions have been sort of public about their desire to, you know, consider trade options. And the Lions are at number 8. So that would be a 6 spot move. If you go purely by draft value charts, which, you know, those are hit or miss when it actually comes to draft day, the Falcons would probably have to give up their 2nd round pick to move up that high, to move up those 6 spots. But a trade with the Lions would put them in front of Green Bay, who probably needs some pass rushing help, Miami at 13, the Bengals at 11, the Bills at 9. All 4 of those teams could potentially also be in the market for some pass rushing help, you know, either at defensive tackle or defensive edge. So Gina, thinking about the Lions and thinking about, you know, their position at 8, so getting inside the top 10 from number 14, do you feel like giving up maybe the 2nd rounder this year, is that palatable to you? Do you feel like that's a trade that the team should explore, in particular if a guy like Ed Oliver does somehow make it to number 8?
Yeah, before I answer your question, David, I do just want to point out that, yes, the Falcons do have 9 picks, and the Saints definitely don't. So Atlanta's...
Could you remind us how many they have?
I think they have, like, 1 or 2. No, they have more than that. I think they have, like, 4. I mean, it's some... I don't know off the top of my head. I'm not going to lie. Like, my hands are full, so I'm not going to Google it.
I think they only have 1 in the top 100.
Yeah, true. I think that it is just 1 in the top 100 because they traded away 2 firsts for last year, and now they're just a disaster. So I did just want to bring that up. I know that everybody loves to hear what I think about the Saints, which is that they are trash. But the thing is, like, we all know Thomas Dimitrov, and he didn't earn the nickname Traitor Thomas for nothing. And we also have a pretty sweet Photoshop ready to go in the event that he does trade up. And so, yes, I think that he probably will, just to indulge all of those things. Really, I mean, with this many picks to play with and knowing that you have failed repeatedly to land an impact pass rusher, I could see them moving up, or, you know, knowing just how much they need to bolster that defensive line for a guy like Oliver, I think that he could. So, yeah, I will not be surprised at all.
And I think it's worth pointing out that at least since Dan Quinn has been head coach, the Falcons seem to be hitting a lot more in the middle rounds with their picks. So, obviously, a guy like Grady Jarrett, Demonte Kazee, you know, these are guys who are high quality starters, not just starters, but high quality starters that they found on, you know, day 2, day 3 of the NFL draft. So there's probably some level of confidence within the team that even if they give up a 2nd rounder to move up, that they have a better shot under this regime of making good picks with their third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks than they have in the past. And there is some recent history that suggests that, yes, they actually have done a fairly good job, especially compared to the failure rate in those rounds, of finding some really good starters, some really good players in those late rounds. So that, I would have to imagine, is going to factor into the decision somewhat. So, Dave, one last question before we wrap up this week's podcast and talking about the draft, because we hear it, it seems like, almost every single year, and I'm sure you have heard it since 2008, at minimum, since Dimitroff has been here in Atlanta. And that is, in a circumstance like the one that you ended up with in this mock draft, where at 14, a lot of the best defensive players were off the board. A lot of fans would be crying out to trade back, pick up more picks, you know, try to pick up, you know, some additional second or third rounders, move back four or five spots, whatever. And yet, in his history with the Falcons, Dimitroff has never once moved back in the first round. Do you think that he would consider doing it this year?
No.
There you have it, folks.
Yeah, let's wrap that up. Put a bow on it.
That's great, great analysis, Dave. Really, cuts to the point of cuts to the chase.
I am known for my great analysis. Does not backfire on me later. But you know, this year where they have so many picks, and you know, for Dimitroff, throughout his career, for better or for worse, you know, and honestly, this year, if he trades up, like I said, I'm totally on board with it. No second guessing here. But he'd rather move up and get the player that they want, and he has done so repeatedly, than say, oh, the players I want are not here, I'd better pick up additional value. That just doesn't feel like a Dimitroff play. If by moving back and then packaging some stuff, he could then move back up, maybe, but that feels unnecessarily convoluted. I think the only way that he would trade down is in the later rounds, if he's kind of wiped out some of his, you know, war chest of picks here by moving up in the first place. We could see something similar to the year that he drafted Pack, where, you know, they trade down to pick up some additional selections late, but where they're starting with nine, I don't feel like that's super likely. So, you know, again, no.
Yeah. One last question, Gene, I'm going to let you close us out with this one, because I've seen this come up a lot this year in the Falcons, you know, having the 14th pick. I saw many fans saying the Falcons had a way to get into the top 10, and that was by losing their last few games. And I know you and I have talked about this. I think we agree on this. So do you want to address the idea that an NFL team would intentionally lose to pick up draft capital in the following year's draft?
Yeah, I think that it's bad. I do not think that professional sports teams should tank. Like, everybody is making a ton of money to play a game for the fans' enjoyment. Fans are paying good money to enjoy this team. And we go into that knowing that we're not going to enjoy every second of it, because it's sports. That's the way that it works. But I want to know that the team that I'm investing, and like, my money is actually the least important part. It's my time and my emotional energy, which is limited because I'm adult. I'm an adult human with a job and a family and like a bunch of shit going on. And so if I'm investing my emotional energy in this team, I want them to at least try. Yeah. Like, just try. I do not at all subscribe to the idea that you can tank as a professional sports team. I think that that's terrible and wrong. And that's probably because I will never have a membership to Draft Twitter. Like, I will never be a part of that group. So I have a very different view on it. But yeah, no, I think that you play to win the game. And I think that that is a universal truth about professional sports. And I don't think that you tank. I mean, that's a completely absurd idea to me. I probably just sounded like the oldest old lady in the world. Like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, kid.
How do you feel about kids on your lawn?
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. the haters and losers, of which there are many.
So, on that incredible note, we're going to wrap up this week's special podcast covering the SB Nation mock draft. So, Dave, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can interact with you, and if they want to, maybe stalk you.
Well, I don't encourage the last one, just for the record.
I mean, if y'all want to go to Canada, yeah, that's on you.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to watch me drink a lot of coffee and sort of be bald in a cold area, then you can do that, but that's not for the faint of heart. But you can follow me on The Falcoholic on Twitter. You can check out my articles at fine retailers where The Falcoholic products are sold. And of course you should be following us on Facebook, where the comments are hilarious and shouty all the time, and Instagram, where we post pretty pictures. So
I forgot about that. Yes, we do have an Instagram. That's fantastic.
Yeah, Evan, that would be Evan Birchfield. He is knocking it out.
He's
of
been
park.
A fantastic hire.
That's a mixed sports metaphor for a football site, but I'm sticking with it. I don't
We're
going to
roll with it. And
from downtown.
Absolutely. knocking it to the back of the net. Gina, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you and what you've got going on?
Yes. First of all, I want to say thanks for bearing with me on this podcast. It should be against the law for me to record a podcast when I'm also trying to move because I am incredibly tired. I didn't remember anybody's names. You guys were super nice about it, so thanks for that. You can find me on Twitter at Gina Thomas, where I will probably be bitching about moving and posting pictures of my dog for the next few days. You can find me at The Falcoholic, where I edit a bunch of stuff that is all really good, and you guys should read all of it. And I write some stuff, and I think that's actually pretty okay, too. And, yeah, you can find me on this podcast right here.
Absolutely.
Too. Lots of options.
Many
Lots
places
options.
To find the one and only Joom. As for me, guys, you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, and eventually, hopefully soon, my articles again at thefalcoholic.com. And of course, here at the Falcoholic Podcast and our Falcoholic Crossfire Podcast, which we will be bringing back in the very near future with some draft-focused fights coming up. That's going to be a ton of fun. So for Dave Choate, the Falcoholic himself, Gina Mad Online Thomas, this is David Walker thanking you guys for tuning in yet again, and we will talk with you next time.